Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to episode number 173 of The Draft Analyst, presented by the Believe Sports Podcast Network. Do you believe? I'm your host, Chris Tripodi, and with me, as always, is Tony Pauline. And it is officially draft season with the Senior Bowl now in the rearview mirror. And what that means for this podcast is that you all get to hear much less of our voices and much more of those of actual NFL draft prospects. This week's guest is former Northwestern and Indiana quarterback Peyton Ramsey, who had the pleasure of transferring during a pandemic season where his conference nearly canceled the entire fall campaign. You already know most of our thoughts on the whole situation, but now you'll get to hear how this unique offseason and regular season affected a player who is entering a new program.
And Peyton Ramsey was one of the more fun quarterbacks to watch the past 2 years. I mean, he really took that Indiana program 2019 after he was put back into the starting lineup, got him to a bowl game. And this year, I mean, Northwestern, they had a great defense, but, you know, the offense did its job. They won the Western Division of the Big Ten, played in the Big Ten title game. More of an RPO type of quarterback. It'll be interesting to get his thoughts on the transfer from Indiana to Northwestern and basically what happened during this COVID-riddled season.
And we'll get right into today's show and talk to Peyton Ramsey in just a moment after a word from our sponsor. The Super Bowl is here, and you can get in on all the action at betonline.ag. And it's not just the game you can bet on, Tony. There are even lines for the commercials. For example, the over-under on how many commercials will have dogs in them is 4.5, with a very strong lean to the over.
Do the dogs have to bark or just be in the commercials, I wonder? I wonder if they do have a line for the number of commercials that have dogs barking in them.
They did not from what I saw, but you never know. I didn't scroll down the whole page. But to the game, Tampa Bay is the first team in history to play for the NFL title on its home field. Currently a 3.5-point underdog against Kansas City, which is looking for back-to-back titles for the first time in almost two decades.
Bet Online has hundreds of props on the game, including game MVP, margin of victory, and even length of the national anthem. I think that's probably about, 2 minutes and 30 seconds? Always available online or on your mobile device. Visit Bet Online today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Now, without further ado, Tony and I would like to welcome Peyton Ramsey to the show. Peyton, welcome to The Draft Analyst, and thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me.
Now, we'll get right into it here, starting with your high school days. Now, you played high school ball in Cincinnati, and you were offered by the Bearcats, along with ACC schools like Boston College and Wake Forest, and Big Ten schools like Illinois and Indiana. What played the biggest role in your decision to commit to the Hoosiers?
Yeah, you know, I've always been a Big Ten kid and grew up in the heart of Big Ten country. Indiana was on the come up, and I saw that coming with Kevin Wilson and Kevin Johns and the offense that they had been building and the culture. And I think the opportunity to play close, you know, somewhat close to home so that my parents could be at every game. I think there's a bunch of different things that went into it, and I think I made a really good decision.
You know, you redshirted in 2016 and then rotated with Richard Legault in September the following season. What were your main challenges? What were the main challenges in taking over every snap under center the first month? And what was the biggest challenge for you once you took over the full-time job before your knee injury derailed you that season?
Yeah, you know, I think I was a young guy at the time. I was, you know, 19, 20 years old. So trying to trying to learn the ropes of being a college quarterback and everything that that entails. You know, that's not just a playbook. That's, you know, learning a locker room and developing as a leader and growing as a guy in the locker room. And I think that was more than anything, you know, proven to guys that even though I'm a young guy, a young quarterback especially, that I'm able to do this and I'm capable of doing so. And I think once guys started to buy into who I was and see that I was capable of making plays, I think I got that confidence and just kind of started rolling.
Now, you mentioned rolling. You played that whole 2018 season after that. But then after the year, heading into the next season, 2019, you lost your starting job to a redshirt freshman, Michael Penix Jr. Ironic, because you kind of took over when you were a redshirt freshman. Were you surprised when Coach Tom Allen made that decision? And what were your feelings? What were you thinking when you learned that you had to, you know, step aside?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I was taken back. You know, I remember getting a call to head up to his office and, you know, thinking I was going to get some good news. But unfortunately, I was on the other side of that chair that time. And it was a tough pill to swallow. It really was. But, you know, I just, you know, continued to battle and kind of leaned on the guys in the locker room that I trusted and cared about. And they really got me through it. Those were the guys that kind of pushed me through it. And it was a tough time in my career, but I think I learned a lot about myself. And, you know, I think I'm a better man for it.
Penix gets hurt in 2019. You get your job back and you play really well. Indiana was a fun team to watch when you were under center in 2019. Get your team back into a bowl game. Then you decide to transfer. What were the underlying reasons for your transfer to Northwestern? Was it just playing time? Were there other issues? Were there other reasons why you decided to transfer out?
No, you know, I accomplished the first goal that I set out when I went to Indiana. That was to graduate. And, you know, obviously they had made it clear, Coach Allen and the staff had made it clear that they were going to go with youth and they were going to play Mike. And great decision, as you can see this year. Unbelievably talented kid, awesome person. But they made it clear that it was his time. And I graduated, so I felt comfortable enough to kind of step aside and go my separate way.
Now, when you first lost the job to Mike, did transferring cross your mind then, or was it not really on your mind until after the year?
You know, I'll go back to that question that you asked him, and graduating was always number one. So I didn't, you know, I never thought about transferring after I wasn't named the starter. You know, I was going to stick it out. There was never a question. And I was going to battle through it, you know, and just kind of learn from it and try to be the best teammate, the best player that I could be. And, you know, I loved Indiana. Like I loved it as a place, as an institution, as a football program. It brought me a lot of joy. And I never thought about leaving after that, you know, 2019 decision.
Now, a week after you decided on Northwestern is kind of when everything shut down across the U.S. due to COVID-19. How did the pandemic affect the offseason for you as somebody who is a graduate transfer to a completely new football program?
Yeah, it was tough. You don't know names, you don't know faces, you don't know the offense, you don't know anything. And it was a difficult thing to try to build relationships with guys. You know, it started with you know, text messages and me driving from Cincinnati to Evanston to work out on a random field and to try to get to know guys and Zoom meetings to learn the offense. So it was a tough time, but you know, there were guys that were very helpful and guys that welcomed me in with open arms, coaches, players, administration, you name it. And you know, that kind of made all the difference for me and building confidence with a new team and a new offense. And, you know, like I said, just so many great guys in that roster that kind of helped me through it.
Let's go back to August of last summer. First, the MAC says they're going to postpone their season to the spring. Pac-12 and the Mountain West follow suit, and boom, the Big Ten initially drops the hammer and says that they're going to suspend their season till the spring. You know, what were your initial thoughts when you heard that news? And did you have any expectations that, you know, was there any glimmer of hope that, hey, maybe they will reverse this decision and play this fall?
Hey, no, I mean, it was hard. It was, I think we all saw it coming. Just a couple of days before they shut down, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall for us. So we saw it coming, but it hurt just as bad. The thought of reversing the decision was never something that I saw coming. I thought we were dead in the water. And, you know, we weren't going to have the opportunity to play till the spring. But, you know, thankfully they found a way to get our nine game season in this year and allow us to play. Cause I can tell you 9 games is better than 0.
Sure.
Now, aside from COVID and the shortened season, what were the main differences between your time at Indiana and the 1 year you spent at Northwestern?
I think the way that I bonded with the guys in the locker room, and I think, you know, that's probably a product of COVID, but, you know, all we had was each other, and I built a lot of relationships. And that's not to say that I didn't at Indiana, but just so many like-minded guys and, you know, guys that we did every single thing together, every single day, whether that be, you know, after practice, all we can do is hang out and play video games with each other or hang out and talk and play cards or you name it. Like, it's all we had was each other. So, you asked the question without COVID. Well, you know, COVID made a big difference in, you know, the way that we as student athletes lived and kind of went about our day to day. So, you know, just an unbelievable group of guys that I had the opportunity to spend time with and get to know in a 6 month period.
You know, you say COVID, you know, made a difference day to day. When the season started and you saw teams like Ohio State basically canceling games, were you on pins and needles during the week sort of saying, you know, I hope we get to play the game this weekend. I hope our team, you know, our opponent doesn't have to cancel because of COVID. Was it that sort of situation through the season?
You know, I think we did a good job of kind of just focusing on what we could control. And by the end of the season, by midseason, we knew as a team that, you know, we had two positive tests the entire year and they both happened on Christmas Eve. So we went the entire season without a COVID test. So I think we were confident in ourselves. Like, you know what, guys, we're fine. We're doing the right thing. We're making the right decisions socially. Everything's going to be okay. And we tried not to focus on the other team. And, you know, we did have that one game versus Minnesota canceled. But other than that, you know, there wasn't fear or panic that we were going to get canceled. We did a good job of just focusing every week on what we could control and being ready to play on Saturday.
Well, if you had just two positive tests all season and they were Christmas Eve, you guys at Northwestern were absolutely doing the right thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did. And that's a credit to our guys just socially. I think young guys, it was really hard on just coming into college for the first time and they did a great job. Hats off to them. Cause I know it would have been tough if I was a freshman, but they did an unbelievable job.
And that kind of segues a little bit into the next question here, which I want to talk a bit about Coach Pat Fitzgerald. And, you know, certainly maybe there was some things that he did or the coaching staff as a whole that kind of, you know, helped you guys in the sense of, you know, just being responsible and not going out there getting positive tests and having games canceled, at least on your accord. But what was your relationship with Coach Fitzgerald like, and how would you compare him to Tom Allen, who you played for at Indiana?
Coach Fitz is the best coach I've ever played for. He's an unbelievable motivator, leader. You know, the way he speaks to his team and treats us like professionals is just, it is off the charts. And I have so much respect for him. And, you know, I think the biggest difference, one style is not better than the other, but Coach Fitz is so calm and laid back and poised and, just the way he leads, he doesn't get rattled. He doesn't get phased. He's just the same dude all the time. And I think as a quarterback, I really came to appreciate that. And Coach Allen is the more, you know, fiery, energetic, jump up and down and that kind of style. And like I said, you know, I don't think one's better than the other, but, you know, I really appreciated the way that Coach Fitz kind of came every single day. His attitude on a consistent basis was something that I really admired and you know, trying to take with me as I continue to be a leader.
Well, I mean, now we know why Coach Fitz is always talked about as a potential head coach in the NFL whenever there are job openings. And, you know, I got to ask you, as November and December rolled around, more so November, the talk about NFL teams approaching Pat Fitzgerald, specifically the way they were playing at the time, the Chicago Bears, going after Pat Fitzgerald for a potential job opening, the chatter started to get louder and louder. Were you guys in the locker room aware of that the NFL, you know, was talking about coming after Pat Fitzgerald and he was a hot name as far as a coaching prospect for the next level?
Absolutely. We heard the rumblings, you know, we're on Twitter. We see the stuff on social media, but You know, he acknowledged it without acknowledging it. He would drop subtle comments to kind of assure the guys that, you know, he was coming back and that this is home for him. And, you know, I think when Coach Fitz says those kinds of things, and I think he's a coach that you can trust and that you can believe when he says, when he drops those hints. And, you know, he continued to do that and kind of assure the, especially the young guys and the recruits that, that he was going to be back. And as you can see, he's just signed a decade deal. So he'll be there. He's not going anywhere. He loves that place, and he makes it very special.
Now, everybody loves an underdog, which is why a lot of people probably root for Northwestern. May not be an underdog much longer, as you kind of said with Coach Fitz there. But this year, a lot of people were upset that the Big Ten changed the rules at the last minute to allow Ohio State to take part in the Big Ten title game. And then even more people were rooting for Northwestern as a result of the decision. Were you aware of the pushback that Ohio State was receiving because of their last minute decision, or any extra support that you had during the Big Ten title game?
You know, I was definitely aware of it. I come from Indiana. I was there for 4 years. I still follow the entire Indiana faithful on social media. And I recognize they were upset about it. And, you know, I don't have an opinion on it. You know, a decision was made, and, you know, we got to play a really good Ohio State team that, you know, I think that you dream about doing in a Big Ten title game. So, you know, for me, I don't have an opinion on it. Maybe if I played at Indiana, I would. But, you know, it was an awesome opportunity for us to go out and play, and, you know, kind of something that I was dreaming about doing. So it was awesome for me.
Speaking about Indiana and dreaming of doing something, you know, after Northwestern locks up the Western Division of the Big Ten, were you secretly hoping to meet Indiana in the conference title game?
You know, I really didn't want to play Indiana. You know, just all those guys, I had met so many great people along the way. And I think the emotional roller coaster and the media circus that it would have been kind of would have taken away from just playing in a Big Ten title game. Trust me, I would have gladly ran out there and played my heart out if we were playing the Hoosiers. But a big part of me was kind of glad that, you know, I didn't play against them. I had no hard feelings against Indiana or anybody there. So it's not like I needed a revenge game or was out to crush Indiana. You know, I was happy to be playing in the Big Ten title game, and it all worked out the way it was supposed to.
Now, obviously, when you first went to Northwestern, you figured this is it. This is my final year. Obviously, the whole COVID situation, the NCAA allowed players to take an extra season of eligibility, you know, for people who may not have normally had that. Was that something you ever gave any serious thought to, or was it always the NFL after the season for you?
You know, I thought about it. I thought about coming back and an opportunity to take a sixth year. But that's a lot of college football, you know. And I, you know, I was fortunate enough to play when I was a young kid as a redshirt freshman. So I had played a lot of ball, and I'd put my best foot forward, you know, and I worked really hard and I got better and I did a lot of really cool things and saw a lot of cool places. And it felt like the right time to move on and pursue my dream. You know, I'll turn 24 next fall. And that feels like a pretty big number to be still playing in college. So I was ready to move on, and I'm happy with my decision.
You know, it was sort of a weird year for the postseason All-Star game, specifically, you know, Shrine Game, which I'm sure you would have got to participate in. But you did participate in the College Gridiron Showcase, one of the few postseason scouting events that I've never attended. What was that like? What was the daily routine like there?
Yeah, you know, I think it was tough. You know, I think a little bit condensed from what it usually is. We had the opportunity one day to, you know, all 32 teams were represented, and they had the opportunity to call guys in for interviews and, you know, start that process of interviewing and communicating with teams. And then we had a day of field work where we were out throwing, you know, routes on air and doing some quarterback specific stuff. So it was a good experience. Met a lot of cool guys, and I think that's one of the cooler parts about those All-Star games is guys come from all over and you get the opportunity to meet a bunch of different guys.
Was there any one pass catcher or receiver that you were thrown to that really stood out to you on the day you were out on the field working out?
I don't know. There's a bunch of good players. Off the top of my head, man, I've been all over the place lately, meeting a bunch of different people. So I don't have anybody off the top of my head, but there was definitely some good players down there.
Now, obviously, we're not going to have an NFL combine this year unless something were to change in the next week here or so. But what does your draft training plan look like over the next few months? And do you know anything about a potential pro day for Northwestern players?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm down in Tampa training right now. Training with a quarterback coach by the name of John Kaleo. Really enjoying it so far. It's been awesome down here and trying to get ready for our pro day, which is scheduled for March 9th. And got a bunch of guys, a bunch of Northwestern guys coming out and trying to chase their dream. So our pro day will be busy for sure with a bunch of good players there. So I'm looking forward to it.
What's the name of the facility where you're training?
Yo Murphy Performance.
Okay. Now, has there been any – I know that around the country, a lot of these training facilities are talking about holding their own pro day because there's a real possibility that in states like California, Oregon, Washington, some other states, they may not allow the schools to have pro days. Has your training facility talked about having a pro day of their own?
I was under the impression that is not an opportunity for anybody to do this year unless that rule has been changed. But I'm under the impression that we're not permitted to do so. If we are able to, that would be great because I got some dudes down here that I could throw to. But yeah, if that's an opportunity for us, I would love to be able to participate. But I have not heard otherwise.
Now, you played this year with several guys who are also set to be NFL draft picks. What kind of relationships were you able to foster with guys like Greg Newsome, Ernest Brown, and any others? And kind of a strange year. You mentioned kind of how everyone was close because of COVID, but what about kind of the guys that are going to move on to the NFL with you?
Yeah, it was a tight locker room. You got to know everybody, and Greg is an awesome, awesome player. So confident in his ability and trust himself, and built a great relationship with him and Ernie. Like you mentioned, another great player, even though Rashawn Slater are off the tackle, didn't play, and I didn't get the opportunity to spend a lot of time with him. I did get to meet him and chatted up with him a little bit, and a very impressive person. We got a couple receivers and a tight end, Riley Lees, Ramad Bowman, and John Rain. Those guys are some of my best friends that I have been in constant communication with. So, I mean, it's been awesome to meet those guys and just continue to move forward and chase our dream together.
It's almost like you read the script because you stole my next two questions. So my question is, obviously, did you get to meet Rashawn Slater? You said that you had. Was he at the school facility, the training facility, or was he on campus a lot?
No, he was. So it was in the summer before the season got canceled. And, we were out there training from about June to August together. And, I got to know him and work out with him. And like I said, just an impressive person. Impressive work ethic and just a joy to be around.
You mentioned John Rain, and he is rarely spoken about in scouting circles. And I think it's really a discredit because you watch him play. He's been a good player for the past 2 years, tight end H-back type. What can you tell us about John Rain and how does he compare to Peyton Hendershot of Indiana, who I believe was one of your favorite targets in 2019?
Yeah, John. I mean, John's an awesome player, awesome person as well. One of my best friends. As is Peyton Hendershot. It's funny that you mentioned him. I think they're different players. I think, Hendershot has that size and, he's lankier, but they're both really good route runners. They know how to get open. And I think, especially in this day and age of football, if you can't beat man coverage, especially as a tight end, then you're almost worthless. And both of those guys, they had that opportunity and that ability. And, I saw John grow tremendously as a blocker, as a run blocker this year as well. And because he cares and he put a lot of time and effort into getting better at it. And that's where Peyton Hendershot excels is in the run game. And, and John is well on his way to becoming a really, really good blocker.
Now, we always like to ask players how they would kind of self-scout themselves. So, Peyton, if you were a team watching your film, what would you say are your biggest strengths as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at decision-making and getting the ball out of my hands and making the right decision, completing passes is kind of the name of the game. If you can't complete passes, you know, in college or the NFL, you're not going to win very many football games. And then the ability to extend plays and make plays, I think more than ever, our game is, you know, has turned into being able to improvise and do things off script. So I would say those couple of things are where I really excel.
Conversely, where would you say you need to improve?
Yeah, you know, I think consistently making every throw on the field and just continuing to prove that I can do so. Got a lot more confident throwing the ball down the field, you know, my last couple of years. And just need to continue to prove that I can do that and make every throw on the field.
Well, Peyton, listen, thanks so much for joining us. You've been an enjoyable player to watch the past 2 years. Congrats on your success this year at Northwestern. I mean, playing in the Big Ten title game was something. You guys were close. I know a lot of people were rooting for you. Ohio State, they're just at another level from a talent point of view, but you guys still did a great job. Good luck on your pro day. Good luck on draft weekend, and hopefully we'll be seeing you play on Sundays next year.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Peyton. Now, before we wrap up this week's show, we will quickly run through the Sun Belt film from the 2020 season. First question for you, Tony, which player surprised you most when you watched the Sun Belt film?
You know, it was an interesting season in the Sun Belt. You had Coastal Carolina, who had the undefeated season, beat BYU, then lost a close game lost a close bowl game, I should say. You had Appalachian State, who had a solid season. I think the player who probably played better than anybody expected was Jonathan Adams. Jonathan Adams, the receiver from Arkansas State, 6'2½", 208 pounds, played exceptionally well. I had him graded as a priority free agent coming into the season. Scouts had him graded as a street free agent. Right now, you're looking at Jonathan Adams. If he gets to run and if he gets to work out, you're probably looking at a guy that's going to be 6th, 7th round. Arkansas State didn't have the best year, but Jonathan Adams showed up week in and week out and made big plays. Watch the Kansas State game where he helped lead Arkansas State to stay close in that game. I thought he was terrific throughout the season. I think he's going to be a real good possession receiver with sneaky speed at the next level. As I said, I have him graded as a late round pick. At the very least, I think he's a guy that can make an NFL roster as a 5th receiver.
On the flip side, Tony, who's the biggest disappointment in the conference?
Yeah, I'm going to go with another receiver, Khalil McClain of Troy. This was a guy who some scouts graded as early as the 5th round. He played like barely a street free agent throughout the season. He's got terrific size, 6'3", 220 pounds, runs in the low 4.5s, but he was just not very productive this year, not very active. Really wasn't all that active a year ago. And I think what was happening was scouts looked at those size speed numbers, figured his season would take off or his career would take off. Never really happened. So I think it's very doubtful that Khalil McClain of Troy is selected in the draft, which is a far cry from the 5th round grade that scouts had him stamped as coming into the year.
Now, McClain might be a guy that scouts overrated heading into the season, at least based on what he did afterwards. But right now, who are scouts overrating from the Sun Belt?
You got to look at Josh Johnson, the running back from Louisiana Monroe, graded as a 6th round pick, was just not very productive this year, really never got on the schneid. Struggled to really have any sort of consistency in his game. Again, a guy who came into the season as a early 6th, late 5th round choice. I doubt that Josh Johnson gets selected in the draft.
Now, the last question I have for you here, Tony, which player saw their draft grade change the most based on what they did during the 2020 campaign?
It's got to be Adams. I mean, you look at Adams, he was graded as a street free agent. And now he's a potential late round pick.
That's it for the 173rd episode of The Draft Analysts, presented by the Believe Sports Podcast Network. Do you believe? If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe on any of the major podcast platforms and leave us a rating and a review. And feel free to ask us any questions and give any feedback you may have as well. Special thanks go out to Peyton Ramsey for joining the show today. And we'll be back next week with more on the 2021 NFL Draft. Until then, for Tony Pauline, this is Chris Tripodi. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.